Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Man, aren't you glad you came to church today? Whew, what a great day of worship we've had so far. Hey, let me go ahead and invite you to take out your Bibles. We're going to need them. We're starting with a very simple verse to find. The very first page of Scripture, the very first verse on the page, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is where we're going to begin our discussion today as we continue through this teaching series that we kicked off last week called Preach Jesus. Now, we're going to spend the entire next year doing just that, preaching Jesus. Now, let me tell you a secret. We always preach Jesus, okay? But this is a specific focus. And Kevin got us kicked off last week with, I believe, the most important question that we could ever ask in our entire lives, and that is this: who is Jesus? I mean, can you think of a more important question, not only just to ask, but to answer? Because that question, it leads to more than just academic knowledge. It leads to more than just kind of knowing a truth. That question actually leads to us also asking, who is Jesus to you? It leads to relationship in Christ. And I'm convinced that everything hangs in the balance of how we answer that question. Who is Jesus to you? So this morning, as we continue to look at Jesus and lift his name on high and bring God glory, I want us to look at just some simple foundational truths. And we're going to talk through a couple of things, actually three things this morning, that if you've been in church any time, you're going to hear these truths and you're going to go, well, yeah, I know that. But there's always a reason that God gives us truth in his word. And it's not just to know more. Knowledge is great. But with every word of truth that God gives us, he does so that we can live it out. All of God's truth is intended to be applied to our lives. So we're going to take some of these truths about Jesus as the Creator, and we're going to look today at how we can apply these to our lives. And so let's start in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You may not even have to turn there. Maybe you could just quote this one really quick. It's one sentence. But look at the weight of this sentence. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, how quickly do you read that if you just are picking up your Bible and you're reading through your devotion time, you're sitting down having your chair time, and you start in Genesis? Isn't it easy just to read that? But what an incredible, powerful sentence that is. In the beginning, who? God. Now, what do you picture when you hear that sentence? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but immediately what comes to mind, and kind of always has, is I get this picture of God, our heavenly Father, God the Creator, speaking into existence everything, right? But did you know that there's another side to that picture? Because when we're talking about who God is, what does that mean? What are we talking about? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. This is who we're introduced to in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And what I believe is that God's word, every word of Scripture, points to one person, Jesus. And so what we see here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is that all things were created through Christ. He's there. He's present at the creation. Now, where else do we see that in Scripture? You know that we see echoes of this throughout Scripture, but turn to the New Testament with me. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and the first part of 16. Colossians 1, verse 15 says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, do you want to know God? Do you want to see God? Look to Christ. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, who? God created the heavens and the earth. Who was there, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16? Jesus. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, and he made the things that we can't see. Now, what are the things that we can see, and what are the things that we can't see? How much does that cover? It's everything. Everything was created through Christ. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now, you may hear this. All things were created through Christ, and I hope that you're sitting there. I hope that you kind of have that knowledge, and you're going, well, yeah. But do you know that there's another truth that goes along with that? Because remember, we're talking about more than just knowing something. We're talking about living in Christ. And so because Genesis 1:1 points to Christ, and because Colossians 1:15 and 16 points to Christ, we see that all things were created through Christ, so you can know that you were created for him. You were created for Christ. Now, let's think with both hands for just a second. What does that mean? When it means that you were created for him, for Christ, it means that you were created to be in relationship with him. And on one hand, that relationship makes a huge difference right here and right now, right? I mean, when we give our lives to Christ, when we call out to God and we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, and we say, I want to be forgiven of my sins and I want to commit my life to Christ, and we answer that call that we hear where God is saying, follow him. Where Jesus is saying, follow me. Where the Holy Spirit is pointing us towards Christ, just like every word of Scripture itself is pointing towards Christ. When we hear the voice of God and we answer that call to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that changes everything right here and right now, doesn't it? Forgiven of all of our sins so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ. The old person is what? Gone. And God creates in us a new person. Have you done that? How do you hear the voice of God calling you today? Maybe you hear the voice of God calling you in those still small moments of your day, where when everything kind of dies down, even if it's just for a moment, you have this sense of God calling you to Christ. Follow me. Maybe you're in a place right now where you don't know how to take the next step in your life. You feel kind of stuck. But in that time where you're calling out to God saying, help me, he's saying, follow me. Maybe it's just an echo. Maybe it's just an echo in your heart and in your mind that's calling you to God through that question of what if? What if God is there? What if he's calling me to something bigger than myself? What if God does love me? When you step into Christ and understand that you were created for him, everything about you was created to be with Christ, in relationship with him right now, mind, body, spirit, and soul. You step into life itself. We're not talking about being a better person. We're not talking about behavioral modification. We are talking about going from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. Life itself is only found in him. And on one hand, when we make that decision, it changes everything. But it's not just about the here and the now, is it? Because you got another hand, don't you? We're talking about eternity itself. Because you see, when you were created for Christ, when everything was created in and through him, God planted a seed of eternity in you for the purpose of you being with him for all of eternity. And what I believe, standing here today, is that every single person who has been born, lived, and died on the face of this earth, they would all call out to us today, right here, right now, one message. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. Jesus is the only thing that matters. They are calling to us now. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us saying, follow Jesus. Everything else pales in comparison. Nothing else matters. Because when you slip the surly bonds of this life, have you ever heard it described like that? When it comes our time that our life on this earth ends and we step out of this life, what we are intended to do is to step into the presence of God Himself face to face with Jesus. And the rest of our eternity is to be spent with Him. You were created for the purpose of being with Christ, not just now, but forever. Do you see what hangs in the balance here? Do you see why it's so important that we understand that all things were created through Christ so that you can know that you were created for Him? Have you decided to follow Jesus today? If you haven't, I would ask you, won't you give your heart to Him? Won't you join the thousands and millions of others that have gone ahead of you, that have made that decision? It's more than just an individual decision. It starts with you. But when we step into salvation, we step into the kingdom of God itself. And the kingdom is not a castle, it's a people. And we step into that community, and that whole community is calling to you. Follow Christ. You see, everything was created in and through Him so that you can know that you were created for Him. But there's something else that we see. There's something else that we see. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened next? What does the rest of the sentence say? Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What is God beginning to show us here? What is He beginning to teach us about who He is? If God says it, guess what? It happens. If God says it, it's going to come to pass. If God says it, it's true. If God says it, you can bet your life on it. You can take it to the bank. If God speaks it, then it will be. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And even passed, and morning came, marking the first day. And we can see now, I mean, we live in this every day, that God separated. He said, let there be light. And what? There was light. And then He separated darkness from light. And we see every single day this truth. The sun rises every day. The sun sets every day. The moon rises every day. The moon sets every day. And we can see in creation itself that God has a plan and God has a purpose in separating the darkness from the light. And let me ask you a question. Do you see that reflected in our world today in another way? Do you think that God has separated darkness from light? Do you see any light in this world? It is in Christ. Do you see any darkness in this world? It's everything that is not of Christ. Do you see the difference between darkness and light, good and evil? And we navigate that every day that we are alive, which is why it's very important for us to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. Remember, when we're looking at the creation account, we're seeing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. And that's a good thing to know, isn't it? But what does that mean? Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Jesus is the light of the world, so you can live in the light of Christ. You can live in the light of Christ. Now, we're going to read John. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I want you to listen to see if there's any echoes of the creation account here. See if you hear anything that sounds a lot like Genesis chapter 1 and following. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that begin to create in your mind? What kind of image does that create in your mind of what the Word is? Does it sound like we're talking about words on a page, or does it sound like we're talking about a person? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He, who is He? Jesus. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus is the light of the world, and we know that according to God's Word, but what that means is that you can live in the light of Christ. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about the light of Christ? It's very metaphorical, isn't it, right? But you know, there's a very practical truth there, because what is the light of Christ? Well, I believe it's this. It's the truth of God's Word. In the beginning was what? The Word. And when we shine the truth of God's Word onto our life, what is it that we see? I mean, let me ask this question. If you were to shine the light of Christ on every area of your life, what would that be like? I kind of picture it, you know, being in darkness, and I kind of picture in my mind like a flashlight that you turn on and you start to shine it around. So when you take the light of Christ, the truth of God's Word, His commandments, the way He lived His life, the way He modeled life, and you shine that on your past, what does it look like? When you shine it on your current circumstances, what does that look like? When you take that light and you shine it into your future, what does that look like? Now, there's a truth here that I think we need to understand, that we don't, when we look at our life in the light of Christ, sometimes we don't like all that we see, right? Let me show you a picture. See if you could tell me what this is. What is this? Now, that's right. Absolutely. This is a very exciting type of image, isn't it? Because it depends on if you own a yard or not, and you care about that yard. It depends on how you interpret this image that's on the screen. What is that? It's a dandelion, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved dandelions. That was immediately something that I could pick and I could blow and just watch those things kind of float off in the breeze. But really what I liked to do was kick them. There was nothing more exciting to me as a kid than going into a yard or somewhere and there's all over the place and I'm kicking those things. Now, as an adult who cares about their yard, all of a sudden, this is the worst thing for me to see, right? And because it, let's just be honest, you may be like, I'm not like super nerdy about my yard, but I do care about how it looks. And you may be like super nerdy about your yard. And if you are, that's great. I love it. I drive past your yard, and I'm like, I want to be like you one. I want to be like you one day and have that lawn like that, that lush grass. Man, how many of you got your yard taken care of, but man, one of those pops up in your neighbor's yard and you're like, oh my gosh. Because you know it's going to blow over in there and it's going to plant those seeds and they're going to come up. You see, when the sun begins to come up and stay up a little bit longer, right? My favorite day of the year is that winter solstice when all of a sudden we're having longer days than we are shorter days. I always tell Janie, we're winning. This is the day that we start winning, because summer solstice, I start saying this is the day we start losing, you know. But I love it when those days start to get longer. But when those days start to get longer, what is it that we begin to see? There's things that are going on that maybe, you know, we didn't see before and are growing up in our lives. And when you shine the light of Christ into your life, you're probably going to see some things that have been there beneath the surface for the while, for a little while, that are growing up, that you say to yourself, I don't want that there. That's not right. That shouldn't be there. But you know what else? I don't get too stressed out about dandelions. Because you know what else I know that happens? The longer the sun is out, the warmer the temperatures get, the more the grass starts to grow. What does it do? It starts to choke those things out. They're not forever. Eventually, the sun and the light take care of it. How do you react to things that you see in your life that you know shouldn't be there? Well, when you shine the light of Christ on them, thank God that you're able to see them. Thank God that you are forgiven for all of your sins. And follow Him and live in His light and allow those things to be transformed. Allow those things to be choked out in your life by following Him. Let Him grow you. Third thing is this. We see that all things were created through Christ so that you can know that you were created for Him. We know that Jesus is the light of the world so that you can live in the light of Christ. But we see this. There's a third thing. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Let's read this together. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that's what happened. I love those sentences in the creation account. You see it over and over again. God says it, and it happens. And that's what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and tree that grows seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that what? It was good. You know, all things were created through Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. And when you step back and you look at the big picture of what's going on, because it's easy to kind of see the nuts and bolts of what's happening here in the creation account, you see that God created the ground, God created the seeds and the plants and created all of that. But when you step back, what we see is that God created growth itself. God created the world and placed within it the process of growth itself. And what do you think it's like to be in the midst of that and not be aware of it? To think, well, I could take that for granted, and not be aware that you're not stuck. To not be aware that there is more that God has for you. That you can be made more like the image of Christ. There's a video that I want us to show, I want you to watch with me, that I think illustrates this truth that Jesus created growth itself. Watch this with me. Well, good morning, New Work. You know, as we're reading through the creation account, I thought about Micah. If you don't know Micah, he and his family have been a part of New Work Fellowship for a while now. He and his wife, Lauren, and their kids. And Micah's also an elder here at New Work Fellowship. But there's something about Micah that I think is unique that he could probably bring to our conversation this morning, because Micah is a farmer. And so when we read through that creation account, there's definitely that theme that is in there. And so I thought, Micah, you probably have a unique perspective for us when it comes to this today. So,
yeah.
So I mean, just, you know, kind of thinking through some questions. The first thing is, you know, how's living close to creation through farming shaped your faith in Christ?
Well, just like any profession, I think that what I do every day, I can take for granted. You know, if I were to step into a teacher's classroom and say, "Wow, you do this every day, this is so cool." Or if I step into your life at the church one day and say, "This is so cool." So I think sometimes I take it for granted, but just being there with God's creation, being able to see the plant cycles every year, just seeing how it all works out, and just knowing that he's in charge of everything. I can have try to have good timing, try to make good management decisions, but I can't make them grow.
Right, and that's not under your control, is it?
Right.
So, okay, so I'm curious. So how did you become a farmer?
I guess you could say it's one of those things I was born into. You know, I'm a fourth generation farmer, so I mean, it's all I've ever known.
Yes, this has been part of your life for a long time.
A long time.
Your whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay, so when you think about that and that being part of your life, what is it that you think is a unique perspective that you have about the Lord and His creation? Because you've had the opportunity to live so close to creation in that way.
Yeah. I guess just seeing it every day and knowing that I'm totally dependent on Him. I'm totally dependent on Him to send the rains. I'm totally dependent on Him to send the sunshine, to not send a freeze when I don't need a freeze, not send a hailstorm. But He controls the vast majority of it, and it's totally out of my control. So asking for His help all the time.
Yeah. So, Micah, when you read through the creation account, what do you see and think about?
Well, it's pretty cool to me because when you look at the most sold book in the world over all time, in the first page it mentions my profession. So, I mean, that's pretty cool to me. And the fact that God said it was good. So,
God said it was good. That's that blessing in the midst of that. There's that work, there's that creation, and then God looks at it and says, it is good. So that kind of makes me think about like your family. Mm-hmm. So how have you seen the Lord bless your family through all of that?
Well, I'm a fourth generation farmer, so I guess I've seen it for all of my 41 years, but my family has instilled in me the faith that's required for this job. I can't imagine doing it without my faith. You know, my family instilling that faith, that Christ is the center of what we do, just instilling that in me just makes all the difference in the world. It just it takes so much of the pressure off, because if I didn't have that, I think I'd go crazy trying to farm.
Yeah, so there's tough times in farming.
Yes.
So how have you seen your family and the faith of your family grow during those tough times?
I think that's probably when you grow the most. Mm. You know, the good times, it's just kind of easy to cruise along. I think it's the tough times that make you grow.
So when we're talking about family, there's almost this legacy in the creation account. Mm-hmm. You know, plants are not the only thing that the Lord blesses and says to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. So how has the Lord created a Christ-centered legacy in your family?
I think it's just, the generations that He's given us and the parents who've always been very intentional about making sure that they, you know, shared the gospel with us, making sure that we were in church. You know, my grandfather, the older he gets, he's 89 years old, and when you're right in the business, sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees.
Right.
But when you can get outside of it, and he's been retired for several years, and he can get outside of it with his wisdom and look on and share these things with me about, you know, make sure that you're, you know, working for the Lord, not just trying to suit yourself. It just, it's made a huge difference in how we operate, really.
Oh, yeah. So when you think about all the experiences that you've had, and you think about family and that connection and farming there, what are some of your favorite things or memories or experiences with your family farming?
Like Sunday afternoons with my family riding around on a gator, just looking at the crop progress, or just going down and looking at the creek and seeing if all the drainage tiles are working correctly, and just being able to show those you care about what you're doing on a daily basis and the reason that you're doing it.
Well, Micah, thanks for sharing with us some of your experiences that are unique to your life experience there, even with your family, and really kind of showing us another angle on what it means to be stewards of growth, because we see that we've been called to that in Christ.
So Jesus created growth itself. So that means, what that means is that you can be a steward of growth. If he's created you, if he has called you, if he has saved you, if he has given you everything that you have and blessed you abundantly, then what we're called to do is to be stewards of all that he has given. Stewards of growth. How are you growing in Christ? What is it that God is calling you to as a next step in becoming more like Jesus? Do you know that Jesus grew? He was born, lived, became an adult, and he grew. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, is Luke 2:52. Talks about Jesus as a child. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. If Jesus grew, so can you. We're called to that. If Jesus went through the process as the Son of God himself of growth, don't you think God has called you to be a steward of growth as well? What's the next step he's calling you to? Is it salvation? Step into it. Is it to step into obedience to God in the call that he has on your life? What's that next step look like? Step into it. He is calling you today through Christ because you were created for him. You can live in the light of Christ, and he's walking with you, showing you how to steward all the blessings of this life that he's giving you so that you can grow and those around you can grow as well. And when we do that as believers, when we do that as a church, the kingdom grows. That's what we're called to. Let's go to him in prayer. God, we thank you so much for the day that you've given us, the time that we have to worship. But even more so than that, God, we thank you for how you've fill this time and space with your presence. Thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the simple truths that you show us about who Jesus is and the call that you've given us on each of our lives to grow in him. God, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, they're not saved, we pray that today would be the day that they ask you for the forgiveness of their sins, that they commit to follow Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we pray that today would be that day of salvation for them. For those of us who are growing in you, we pray that you would show us the next step. Show us who you are, who you've created us to be, and help us to follow you faithfully. God, we love you. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow on us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the worship team leads us in this time of response, let me encourage you to step out and step up if you've made a decision to follow Christ. If you need prayer, to pray for something that God is doing in your life, something that God is doing in the lives of the people around you, we want to join you and encourage you in that prayer. Let's follow the Lord today according to how he is leading us. Let's stand and sing, and then you come forward as the Lord leads.